This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
John Elway joins us on Sports Byline, the former Denver Broncos quarterback. Of course, he led the Broncos to 6 AFC championship games, 5 Super Bowls, and, of course, 2 Super Bowl championships. And for me, I had the personal pleasure of watching John throughout his career because I was doing the play-by-play for Stanford University, where he was, of course, the All-American quarterback there. John, I find it kind of eerie as I talk to you, thinking that I've gone through your college career, I've gone through your pro career, and now I'm into your post-pro career. It seems like the time just flew.
It really has. I was just, when you were mentioning that back in the Stanford days, it doesn't seem like it. You're right when you say that it has gone fast.
It's interesting about that. I was asked a lot about it because I was the announcer on that game for Stanford. And the one thing I took great pleasure in, John, is that during the call of that play, I said the game is over with. And they finally found a picture that they put on the front page of the Chronicle showing in up in the upper right-hand corner what I had seen, which was the official with his hands above his head signaling the end of the ball game. And that was the official that was looking down the line and seeing the knee was down. And I just kind of smiled to myself because that's what I had seen. That is what I had called. And in the end, it was the satisfaction of doing that. And I know as you relived it and thought about it, it probably was painful in some ways, but you were a part of something that was a great moment in college sports.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, at the time, it was definitely painful and upsetting, and, you know, it being the last game of my college career. But I think that, it's kind of a fun thing to talk about now and be able to tell people that, yeah, that was my final game of my senior year, and it can giggle at it now.
How did you approach your post-pro career? I know you're into a lot of business things, but toward the end, what did you start thinking about in that transition and how you were going to make it as smooth as possible?
Well, I can't, and what I've tried to do is I'd been in some businesses before I retired and bought some dealerships. And so what I wanted to do is just jump into that and try not to miss a beat going from football to afterlife. And then ended up selling my dealerships. And so just kind of been searching a little bit, trying to see what's next in line. And I've got an arena team in Denver now and been spending my time on that. So it's nice to be involved in management as well as be back involved in football.
That management perspective, how is it different from the player perspective?
Well, you almost kind of go from like actor to producer. I mean, as a player, you're kind of the actor, and then the coaches and the management side is kind of the producer. So you kind of switch hats and go from the acting part to the producing part. And so, I mean, it's you have more control in the decision making, but you have less control of what goes on to the field. So it's really kind of just the opposite.
John, was it easy for you to divorce yourself between the playing responsibilities and the personal business responsibilities when you were playing in the NFL, or did they kind of bleed into each other?
Well, I think they kind of bleed into each other, but the bottom line is my job as a quarterback was to win football games on Sunday. And so, I mean, no matter what was going on in the business side, that was still my job and the part that I had the most control over. So they meant it a little bit, but I just tried to realize that my job was to win football games.
When you reflect back on your pro football career, what are the things that means the most to John Elway? Because I think that perspective is probably different than what outsiders would say.
You know, I think probably it was just the perseverance of hanging in there and having gone to 3 Super Bowls early in my career and then losing those and hanging in there and finally in the 15th and 16th year coming through and winning a couple of Super Bowls and being involved with an organization that got it figured out. And so just hanging in there and the perseverance and also thanking God that I was lucky enough to be on those teams that were good enough to win Super Bowls.
It's interesting you bring that up because, of course, Super Bowl 32 was right there in San Diego. And I remember that team that particular year. There was a quiet confidence about them that I had not seen in a Denver Bronco previous Super Bowl team. What was that difference that year with that team?
You know, I think we played well early, and then late in the year we didn't play real well, and then I think the quiet confidence we had was the fact that we went on the road after our first wild card game. We went on the road to Kansas City and then in Pittsburgh and won both those football games, and so we really felt good about how we were playing, and that if we could go in those two places and beat those teams, that we could, you know, we could beat the Packers in the Super Bowl, even though we were 14-point underdogs.
As you indicated, you had lost three Super Bowls up to that point. Nobody gave you much both respect or an opportunity to beat Green Bay. Did all of that play into making the team a little bit more relaxed for that Super Bowl?
I think so, you know, and I think that people kept saying that, you know, every time they say you don't have a chance is a lot of times when, you know, the other team puts their guard down a little bit. So it did help us, and, you know, the bottom line is we had a guy named Terrell Davis that was just had a great game and ran wild and, you know, came back from a migraine. And I can remember running on the field with about 5 minutes to go and just saying, you know, all we need is, you know, just a chance to win the game or be involved, be in a game in the Super Bowl with 5 minutes to go. And I remember when the score was 24-24 running on the field and Ty scored and we had a chance to win it. And Terrell ran wild for us and we were able to win it.
It's interesting. I was talking to Terrell the other day and I asked him, I said, do you have any regrets about the way things at least temporarily or permanently have ended for you? He said, yeah, I do have one. He said, I wish I could have been playing with John Elway for more years. He said what he did and how he was, he said, was set a standard. And he said it was wonderful to play with that man. That type of respect that you've always, that players have always had for you, how is that fostered between a key player and other members of the team?
Well, I mean, I think it's very important, and I think it's one thing that in Denver we had, and you know, a lot of great players there, but also put the team first and realized that their successes would come behind the team's successes. And so, I mean, I think that you just go and realize that everyone's got a job to do, and the job is to do their job to win football games.
John, when you take a look at that, you were drafted originally by the Colts, didn't want to play with them, ended up with Denver. What were you trying to do? Were you trying to put yourself in an atmosphere of success, a comfort level of some type?
I'm sorry. When I was doing that, it was just a matter of, you know, the type of organization. And I was fortunate in that I had some leverage, and I could have gone and played baseball. Things didn't work out. So, fortunately, they traded me to Denver, and things worked out pretty well.
Let me talk a little bit about your dad, who passed away recently, because I knew him for a long time as well, and you and I have had long talks about him. Talk to me, if you will, a little bit about the early days of you being in football and how he worked with you and what you all talked about when it came to this game.
Well, he was definitely my hero and my mentor, and was a guy that you know, was definitely responsible for where I got, and you know, was a guy that, you know, when I was in high school, was a guy that, even though he never coached a team that I was on, he was almost like a personal coach to me, and I could take things to him that I would draw out of games and go and discuss it with him, and so he was always there to help. And so, I mean, when things were good, he was there, and when things were tough, he was always there with the kind word to kind of get me out of the dumps and pick me up again. So it was he was the master of making me feel a lot better when things weren't very good.
What's the best piece of advice he ever gave you?
Yeah, the one he always told me, and he gave me a lot, but he always just said, treat other people the way that you wish to be treated. And I'll never forget him saying that. And you know, he was a great guy and a great coach and a guy he'll be missed forever.
Yeah, I could almost picture him saying that to you, because that's the way he was. He was always very generous with his time. When he was down at San Jose State and you were at Stanford, I know you hated playing against him, but what were those games like for both of you and also for your mother as well?
You know, I think it was probably the toughest on my mom. She had to watch both. But you know, and it was probably the easiest on me, because I was just out there playing and you know, playing against San Jose State, whereas my dad had to watch me playing out there against his defense. But then mom was torn in between. So you know, it was something that we didn't want to do, and it actually probably ended up the way it should have. And that's you know, 2-2, and some fond memories of those games.
How much of what happened at Stanford, or for any kid that goes to college, sets the way they're going to play at the pro level? How does that prepare them or not prepare them?
You know, I think that's a big jump. Anytime you make that jump from high school to college and then college to the pro level, it's a big jump. But I mean, it's experience, and I think it's important to be in a program that maybe as a quarterback you're going to throw the ball, or an offensive lineman you're going to pass block and run block. And so, I mean, I think it's important to be in a situation, especially as a quarterback, that's going to help you improve and get to that next level.
You mentioned a little bit earlier, John, you got with an organization that knew what they were doing. What was it that Mike Shanahan brought to the mix that changed everything and led to the success that you and the franchise had?
You know, I think, number one, he brought some players in, that he brought some need players in that to really help us. And I think the way that he practiced, the way he was organized, and the expectation level, he raised that expectation level and treated us like men. So, you know, and plus he'd been in San Francisco, saw how they did it in San Francisco. And so knowing that he had that ring, everyone could believe that he knew what we were doing was the right way to do it, and obviously it turned out that way.
And the other thing, too, John, I think, is that he didn't allow the team to have a negative attitude or a defeatist attitude. After having lost those three, I know that there were some people in Denver that said, well, we don't want to go back to the Super Bowl because we don't want to lose again like Buffalo lost those four. And I don't think he allowed that to happen.
No, he didn't, and I think that's what makes him the coach that he is. He was able to take those negative thoughts out of everybody's minds and allow us to go out there and play and play the best of our abilities.
One of the things I've always been interested in was the games against the Raiders, something personal for him because of what had happened and the relationship he'd had with Al Davis?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bob, I think it always will be. I think there's no question that, you know, you go through a situation like that, and the situation Mike had gone through, that is definitely going to have an effect on the relationship. So every time he plays a Raider, and from now until he's done coaching, I'm sure it'll be a little extra to the to wanting to win that game.
You hold the NFL career record for most regular season wins as a starting quarterback. Many of those were comeback type of victories. Was there something about being behind late in a ball game that you relished?
I don't know that I relished it. It just seemed that we were there quite a bit. So yeah, I was just doing the best I could to get some wins. And you know, I think it, not only myself, but an attitude by the whole team. The fact that they, you know, they never gave up. And so we were able to pull quite a few back.
Well, you went out on top, and deservedly so. I've enjoyed our friendship over the years. John, thank you very, very much, and come back and visit with us again on Sports Byline.
Okay, Ron, thanks for having me.
John Elway, former Denver Broncos quarterback, Hall of Famer. We'll take a break, continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.